This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all of that debris from the thousands of incinerated homes in Altadena has to go somewhere.
If they told you this is recycling and nothing toxic is coming, that is a bald-faced lie.
Becoming obvious that a lot of people don't want that stuff in their backyards. And what's the deal with the funny-looking bats and all of those home runs?
The season's like 4 days old. We already have torpedo bats and a major, like, a good player getting suspended for steroids. It feels like baseball's back.
So back. Welcome to the LA Local for the How the Hell Is It Already Almost April edition, otherwise known as Monday, March 31st. The LA Local is brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your oddly shaped host, Jonathan Service. Thanks for kicking off the week with us. Coming up on today's LA Local, what's up with Oklahoma City, of all places, stealing our Olympic competitions? That specialized bridge over the 101 up in Agoura Hills that's being made especially for mountain lions, deers, coyotes, and all of our local critters takes a big step towards completion. And why the tree that screams Southern California, the palm tree, might be the worst possible vegetation option for our region. But first, the 2028 Olympics seem to be coming at an extremely awkward time for Los Angeles. First, the January fires in Altadena and Pacific Palisades, and we'll get into more on the rebuilding efforts and complications of those two neighborhoods in a minute. It guarantees that a big chunk of the host city will be a very active construction zone when the opening ceremonies hit in the summer of 2028. Then there was the re-election of Donald Trump, not necessarily a close, warm, and fuzzy friend of Southern California. And now there's the inconvenient truth that LA is broke. I mean, like, dead broke. As a result, the Olympic events are being moved to all over the place to accommodate the fact that LA can't afford to build any new venues. And because of that, we're losing both the whitewater kayaking and softball events to Oklahoma City? Oklahoma freaking City? Seriously? From Los Angeles? Our Craig Figner explains.
Unless you're from Oklahoma City, who knew that OKC has an 8.5 million gallon man-made whitewater river right in the middle of the city? It's controlled with these massive pumps that create a challenging Olympics quality venue for canoeing and for kayaking.
It's not a water park ride. It is a full-on authentic whitewater channel, just like you'd see in Colorado or somewhere, except it's all artificial.
That's Mike Knopp speaking with KNX News, founder of River Sport Rapids, built back in 2016, the LA 2028 Olympics, they were supposed to be hosting the canoeing and kayaking in the Sepulveda Basin and build out a venue for it, but then came the city's horrible cash crunch, and so LA's broke, can't afford it. Here comes OKC.
Well, yeah, it's, obviously I've been working with LA 28 for some time. They did announced last June that it was their intention, but knowing out of respect, for City of Los Angeles, we remain, on our end, low key about that.
Must have been a very tough secret to keep since June of last year.
It's been tough. Yeah. We're just honored to be in a position to be a part of the LA 28 team, and we certainly want to make everyone proud.
The plan now is for 9 days of competitions with 10,000 ticketed seats each day, tourism dollars for the Los Angeles 2028 Olympics that will land in Oklahoma City.
Losing out on the possibility of a totally awesome, raging river running through the Sepulveda Basin really sucks. And the softball thing, I just truly don't get. I believe Oklahoma City has a world-class softball venue, and that's great, but we couldn't host Olympic softball games at UCLA or USC? Come on, man. This is Los Angeles. Oklahoma City. Come on. All right, back to our game-changing fires. In both Altadena and the Palisades, the crews tasked with clearing all of that toxic debris from the burn zones are running into big problems on where to dump all of that stuff. In the case of Altadena, they settled on using the Altadena golf course, which makes sense because it's so close to the burn areas. The problem is almost all of the houses around the golf course survived the Eaton fire, and the neighbors there aren't too keen on hosting fire debris in their backyards. Our Karen Adams explains.
You don't care!
I care.
This woman who lost her home in the fire voiced her frustration over the use of the golf course to recycle fire material, and Army Corps of Engineers Colonel Eric Swenson. She and others here say this operation poses a health risk to the community, and she accuses the Army Corps of doing it for monetary gain.
This golf course is actually an unnecessary stop. It's an opportunity to crush and sell this aggregate themselves.
As trucks move in and out of the golf course, Colonel Swenson says they're doing everything to keep down the dust and noise pollution.
Anytime you put trucks in a community, you're going to have an increased noise. But we try to manage that by keeping our hours to sort of working, daylight working hours, and being sensitive to the needs of the community. We have fences up for dust and try to knock some of the dust down. And we've tried to centralize our location to give as much standoff for the noise to dissipate.
He says only fire debris that's been cleaned is being brought here, but the protesters don't believe it.
Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers tells Karen Adams that the debris being dropped off at the Altadena golf course has been cleared of any and all toxic substances. It's just there for recycling. Take that as you will, but it's a really tough call on how to manage all of the burned debris, and goes to demonstrate that the aftermath of those fires is in no way isolated to Altadena or Pacific Palisades. It's impacting all of us in one way or another. We'll actually get back to some fire stuff in a minute. On to a much happier story. The specially designed wildlife crossing over the 101 freeway in Agoura Hills is taking a big step towards completion this week. John Baird talked with one of the bridge designers about the next steps on that valuable wildlife corridor.
Tell me, how big of a day is this?
This is a big day. This is the latest milestone on the way to building the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing. And today we're going to start to place the very first layers of prepared soil over the surface.
And then what?
Well, that is going to set off a sort of a weeks-long process, and it lays the groundwork for what will become a nearly one-acre native wildlife habitat over the surface of the crossing, which, of course, as we know, expands over 10 lanes of the 101 freeway.
And, of course, this is designed to keep animals alive.
This is going to help reconnect a fragmented ecosystem that really needs to be reconnected, and it's going to help animals cross one of the busiest freeways in the country safely, keeping the animals safe and keeping motorists safe. So it's a really exciting day.
I can't wait to see the series of webcams that they're going to put up on that bridge to watch all the critters going back and forth. If people went crazy over the bald eagles in Big Bear, they're going to love this. All right, short break here to take care of some business, and then we're back with more of the Monday Local. Why you should consider cutting down that symbol of Southern California growing in your front yard, and torpedo bats take Major League Baseball by storm. It's the LA Local for Monday, March 31st. Welcome back. I'm your shady host, Jonathan Service. Speaking of shade, well, actually, palm trees are pretty lousy for shade. But the palm tree has long epitomized sunny, laid-back, bleach blonde attitude and style of Southern California. I always think about Eddie Murphy cruising down a street in Beverly Hills with the palm trees all around him in Beverly Hills Cop. They also happen to be horrible vegetation options for a wildfire-prone region. There's a growing campaign to not only prevent any new planting of palm trees in Altadena and the Palisades, but to rip out any palm trees that survived those fires. I talked about it with research ecologist Alexandra Seifert at the Conservation Biology Institute.
It's not native. In fact, there's only one native palm tree in Southern California, and that palm tree happens to be in the desert. So the most common palm that you see lining the streets and pretty much everywhere you go in Southern California is the Mexican fan palm. And it comes from, surprisingly, just kidding, Mexico, where in Baja California in particular, which is not that far from Southern California. So it grows beautifully here. And in fact, it grows so beautifully that it's become highly invasive. And once you plant it, it's hard to stop it from continuing to expand and to grow.
Right. Is there anything about a palm tree that is more likely to spread flames, to create embers, especially if we see really violent wind events like we did in January that's set off the Palisades and Eaton fires?
It's interesting that this iconic species, which everybody loves and has become a symbol of Southern California, actually is detrimental in a lot of different ways. And one of those, which is kind of also iconic of Southern California, right? We think of wildfire a lot when we think of Southern California. And the two together is a bad combination. The Mexican fan palms, they, first of all, if you take a look at them, most of the time you'll see there are these dead fronds hanging at the bottom of them. And they just keep sort of accumulating and accumulating as the palm grows, unless you remove them. And these are really dry, flammable vegetation parts that if you're in a wind-driven fire, the reason things catch on fire is you've got these burning embers, millions of little burning embers that are flying through the sky. And whatever they hit or land on, if it's ignitable or highly flammable, that helps the fire to keep going. So palm trees, given that they're tall and given that they have these dry fronds around their base, is sort of the perfect place for an ember to land and catch fire.
You will find palm trees almost predominantly in urban areas, planted usually alongside people's homes. Yes. I mean, I'm looking at some analysis by you from a little bit after the fires, and you actually suggest that homeowners would be much better off if you planted native live oaks and sycamore trees, right, than ripped out your palm trees.
Yeah, and the reason is pretty clear. If you just look at what's green and you think about what, if you're going to start a campfire, you think about what you want to put in that fire and what's going to ignite the fastest. And you've got a palm versus an oak or a sycamore, and you can clearly see the difference.
Right? If you were in charge of reforestation of these places, would it be up to you? You know, you had the ultimate authority. Would you make the call to rip out all palm trees and plant oaks and sycamores and other native brushes and chaparral instead in its place?
Well, if I had the authority and if I had the resources, which of course is a big question, I certainly would. If I were thinking from a fire perspective, sure, I would get rid of the palm trees or maybe plant different species of palms that weren't invasive or that weren't so fire prone. And I would plant greener native vegetation instead.
So palm trees are kind of like that obnoxious neighbor who just moved in from out of town and now swears that they're so Southern California. Who knew? Finally, on today's local, it started out with a glut of home runs by the New York Yankees, and then a lot of questions about funny-looking bats that some of their players were using, and then a lot of complaints that, damn it, Yankees cheating again. But it turns out there's no cheating going on here at all with these brand new torpedo bats. Molly Knight, writer of the Long Game newsletter on Substack, author of The Best Team Money Can Buy About Your Los Angeles Dodgers, and my personal baseball guru, explained how these newfangled torpedo bats work. I did catch, like, oh my God, Yankees in, I think, the third game of the season, second game, fourth game?
Second game. Within the first series of the season.
Right. In one game, hit 9 home runs, and not every player there is using one of these torpedo bats, but a couple are.
A lot are, yeah.
So, first of all, explain the bat, the physical properties of it that makes it unique.
Yeah, sure. So the bat itself, it almost looks like a bowling pin, but the fat part, the barrel, is now a little bit down closer to the hands, and then it's a little bit thinner up toward the top. And the idea is, like, let's try to make the sweet spot, the barrel of the bat, larger and closer to where you hit it. It's actually kind of a genius idea, but they had to stay within the rules. There are rules about the circumference of bats, about the weight of bats, the length of bats, all that stuff, where you can put pine tar. So this physicist the Yankees had on their staff went to the players in 2023. His name is Aaron Leinhard, and he went to the players and asked them, "What can we do to help? Like, what kind of a bat would help the most?" And he sort of worked with this and figured it out, just basically elongating the barrel.
Now it's crazy to me that in a sport where it's all about seeking any advantage you can get. And I mean, every sport's got this. I mentioned I'm a hockey fan, right? Hockey sticks have evolved over the years to have this like whiplash effect where you put the blade on the ice and whip the shot and it actually picks up some torque off the ice. And like race car drivers, I know, tinker with engines constantly. And of course, you know, Major League Baseball is all about that, whether it's the kind of resin pitchers use on their hand. It's all kind of skirting legality, right? But it's crazy to me that no one thought about redesigning the shape of the bat.
Well, they've tried. I mean, over the years, they went from ash to maple bats, and that was a big deal because bats were shattering. They break now at a larger rate. But this is a new thing. And I think what's happened, frankly, is that the pitchers have gotten so good. And so much of the advantages have gone to them lately with these spin rates and all this stuff that they work on building velocity, and the hitters have really just not had much of a chance. So this could even the playing field. However, I will say Aaron Judge, probably the best hitter in baseball, he is not using the bowling pin bat and hit 4 home runs over the weekend. And the bats are being used by the Minnesota Twins, who have been terrible. I believe they got shut out by the Chicago White Sox, who are supposed to be one of the worst teams in baseball history today. We don't know yet. We just don't have enough data yet to know if these bats are really going to make a huge difference.
And then finally, Molly, I mean, sports is so much more than just the performance on the field. All this drama. That's why we love trade deadlines, right? It's this kind of element of human drama to it. And so I have to imagine that you said a couple of the pitchers were salty about this, but it's within the rules of baseball. I have to imagine that overall it's good for baseball. It's another conversation point, if nothing less.
For sure. And they're called torpedo bats. I mean, how fun, right? Like, even just saying that, my mom's going to be like, what's a torpedo bat? You know, she's going to want to know what that is. I think it's fun.
Okay, this is admittedly stretching the metaphor a bit, a lot. What if figuring out life is just about readjusting your sweet spot? Could it be that easy? I'll try that out and get back to you with the results. Until then, this has been the LA Local for Monday, March 31st, 2025. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Swing for the fences, people. See you Tuesday.